All right, I guess we could open it up for questions. We certainly have a bunch. Maybe we should just talk amongst ourselves for a moment. That thing you were doing, Ronnie, what the?
And how did y'all know to go to the right part on the bridge? Yeah, the harmony there, like, how did that happen?
We ain't never played any of these songs together before.
That's right. It's just music, right? Just listen, use your ears, and pray.
That's true.
No, but does anybody have any questions for...
What was your... There's always one mandolin player that every mandolin player says, I really adopted his style. And what would you guys see each was your biggest influence when you were first starting out?
Our biggest influence.
Biggest influence when we were first starting out?
Well, there were so many, you know. But, you know, for mandolin, I came up during a time when there was lots of really cool new stuff happening, particularly in the early 70s. And I would say that Sam Bush and David Grisman were certainly blazing the most new territory. So as a young teenager, I learned tons and tons of things from those two guys. But of course, there's a list of 12 other mandolin players whose licks I stole off of their records back in the days when you could slow records down to half speed. And so I learned from so many musicians and continue to learn from them, both people who are older than me and people who are younger than me. So that process never stops in inspiration.
I think for me, there were two people, like right out of the gates, that influenced me a ton, that actually played the mandolin. Whenever anyone asks that question, I was also advise people, particularly mandolinists, to also listen, just basically listen to everything and not actually listen to mandolin players just because they play the same instrument as you.
Yeah,
it's just, you know, there's just so many great musicians out there. But two guys early on that influenced me a ton, my teacher, John Moore, who's a wonderful, wonderful musician, and an incredible teacher. He now trains horses, I think, which made him, he was uniquely disposed to teach an obstinate young 5-year-old. And then also there, a fella that these guys both know, who I don't think people talk enough about, particularly in the way he pulls tone out of a mandolin, John Reichman. I listen to a lot. His tone in particular is something I still shoot for and inevitably fail to accomplish.
Ronnie, who was your main man or men or women?
I thought they're probably tired of hearing me talk already this week, but I'll tell you. Of course, I started out, you know, in a bluegrass family right from the start with my dad. And I listened to the guys that played in his band growing up until I really started getting into the mandolin. Of course, it was Bill Monroe. And I listened to that kind of mandolin playing until we had a real traditional bluegrass station out of Washington, D.C., WAMU. Yeah, they had bluegrass back then. I think it was 12 to 6 every day. And it was just on in the house. But then when I was about, I think, 15 or 16, we got a package in the mail from David Grisman. And it had a record in it that he put out, had my dad on it. It was called Early Dog. And basically, it was a live show that my dad had done with David in 1966, and he also had put some extra cuts on there, and along with that, he had sent his records up to that point, so it would have been about 19, you'd already been in the band, because it was Quintet 80.
Oh, he said all that stuff.
He said all up to there, you know, and that just opened my world to mandolin playing I had never heard really before that. So those guys, and then from that, Sam Bush, you know, without a doubt. And watching this guy grow, I met him when he was 8 years old, and the Gator here, I've been waiting all weekend for this, I'll tell you what. You know, these fellas have got a few records together that they have made together, duet records. And one night in Colorado, and I'll never forget it as long as I live, they were working on these tunes, and we were out there at a place called Rocky Grass. And I was staying there. We had cabins up there, up in the mountains, and I had the opportunity to sit between these two, and I was sitting on the floor between the two mandolins as they rehearsed for the first, one of the first times they had rehearsed, I believe. And it was a music and mind-changing experience. And I want these fellas, I want to step aside and let these guys do something, if you don't mind. I'd love to hear it. I'm a little selfish today, but I want to hear it.
Yeah, we got together and just started putting the tape recorder on and recording as we made arrangements of tunes, as we were writing. And that became a CD called Into the Cauldron. This is the first tune on that CD. It's on Sugar Hill, actually. I don't think we brought any with us, but they can be found. There's bootlegs floating around out there. I'm sure you can hear them. See if we can remember this little arrangement.